This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is going to join us. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we'll talk about the coaching hiring and firings of this upcoming weekend's AFC and NFC championship games. He'll join us at 20 minutes past the hour. One final note, a postscript on what I was talking about last hour with the centennial class in the NFL and Pro Football Hall of Fame. I love the idea of honoring the history of the league. One of the coolest things about the centennial teams, the quarterback class, the wide receivers class, the running backs class, etc., is that they didn't only lock in and honor the recent. It'd be so easy. One of the things that I think NFL history gets lost with is that it's almost as though nothing happened before the Super Bowl. And certainly for most people, NFL history started with the Vince Lombardi Packers. Now, part of that is simply that the audience of football fans that were there in the 40s and 50s are aging out. They're passing away. And so you can only go back so far with the majority of fans. But because the Super Bowl is such a cultural entity, anything that happened prior to Super Bowl I almost doesn't exist. I mean, think about it. We're at 54 Super Bowls. The Cleveland Browns have never played in one. So we just consider them all-time losers. It's not like they were always losers. They won an NFL championship prior to the Super Bowl, just 3 years before the Super Bowl was a thing. So had the Super Bowl been created in 1964 instead of 1967, the Browns, hypothetically, would be Super Bowl I champions and would have been to a Super Bowl and would have won a Super Bowl, and it would just be different. They were the dynasty of the 1950s. But ask anybody who Otto Graham was, well, who knows? Which is different in baseball, let's say, because there was always a World Series. And something that happened in the 50s isn't considered never to have happened. It's not like Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays or Joe DiMaggio didn't exist. Babe Ruth is the biggest thing ever in baseball history. But in football, if you ask anybody about something that happened before the Super Bowl, it's almost as though it didn't happen. What? Nah. So I've liked the fact that these lists have included different generations, pre-Super Bowl generations. But I do think there's part of this class that feels like correcting mistakes, or a little bit like they were really good, but not true Hall of Famers. And I hate saying that because then that discredits what they've done, and I don't mean to do that. But there's an element of this of, they wouldn't normally get in, but we have a 100-year thing, so let's get a few guys in that have been passed over. And maybe that's the best thing for them. But it just feels like it's a little extra because they're trying to push a few guys through that wouldn't normally get through. You know, like Jimmy Johnson's a really great head coach. He won 2 Super Bowls. He built that dynasty. But is Jimmy Johnson an NFL Hall of Famer? I mean, Jimmy Johnson coached the Cowboys from 89 to 93 and then had 4 years with the Dolphins where they didn't make it past the divisional round. Is Jimmy Johnson a Pro Football Hall of Famer? He got choked up. It was an amazing moment. It was beautiful. But Jimmy Johnson, I think, has less than 10 years coaching in the NFL. Is that a Pro Football Hall of Fame resume? Now, look, you might say John Madden is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He coached only a decade with the Raiders. And, okay, maybe you'd be right. But there is an element of this that kind of feels like really good. Not necessarily Hall of Fame worthy, but let's get a couple of guys in for some feel-good stories here. Now, a guy like Steve Sable, I mean, his dad changed everything, Ed Sable, and NFL Films. He took the torch and took it to new heights. So, no doubt, he would have gotten in anyway. But I look at some of the other guys, like an Ed Sprinkle from the 40s and 50s, like a Duke Slater in the 20s, like a Winston Hill of the Jets in the 60s and 70s. Those guys aren't getting in unless there's this class. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing. I'm just saying it feels a little bit like an addendum class of getting some guys in that wouldn't really necessarily be up to that level. I will say the thing about Jimbo Covert, offensive lineman for the Bears. Walter Payton ended up as the all-time leading rusher in NFL history. He came into the league in 1976. He did not have a Pro Bowl offensive lineman until 85. He played nearly a decade of his career without a Pro Bowl offensive lineman and still retired as the greatest running back ever in terms of all-time rushing yards. And Jimbo Covert was that guy. Finally, they had a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Amazing. And Harold Carmichael was a big man red zone target before that was really a thing. And during an era where defensive backs could rough you up and ride you downfield, and he was huge and tall and amazing wingspan and played for some really bad Eagles teams and was a guy that when he retired was, you know, in the top 5 of a lot of the categories of passing yards and catches and still the best wide receiver that the Eagles have ever had in franchise history. So cool to see guys like that honored, no doubt about it. Baseball side, continued fallout surrounding the Astros and Red Sox scandal. And guys, can we cue up the Steve Phillips soundbite? Because Steve Phillips, former Mets general manager, joined WFAN yesterday here in New York. And in his estimation, this whole sign-stealing scandal is worse than the steroid scandal.
The other thing I'll tell you this is that I wasn't a great minor league hitter. I played 7 years in the minor leagues with the Mets and Tigers. But I will tell you that I would rather know what pitch was coming and not be on steroids than to be on steroids and not know what pitch was coming.
So this is interesting. Would you rather be on steroids and not know the pitch or not be on steroids and know the pitch? Does it mean that sign stealing actually gives you a way bigger advantage than being on PEDs? We buying this?
I am buying this. Because if you know what pitch is coming, you can lay off. You can hit. Your average will go higher. PEDs will help the distance. Help you hit 100 home runs, but you still strike out a ton. Ultimately, in the game of baseball, when you're a hitter, you will succeed in far more statistical categories if you absolutely know what kind of pitch is coming, what speed it's coming at, and the location it's coming at, which is essentially what this sign stealing is helping you with.
The only thing that I don't know if I buy here is that that would suggest that if the Astros are sign stealing this well, that all of their hitters should be by far the best hitters in baseball. Whereas PEDs clearly made Barry Bonds the most ridiculous cyborg human ever to hit a baseball.
But they won a World Series.
Yeah, but that's to say that basically, like, if you steal signs, it's like Jose Altuve on steroids times five, or Lance Bregman times five on steroids.
Well,
that's a bit of a stretch.
I would also say, though, that my guess is probably you didn't do it for every single pitch of all nine innings of every game, because then everybody's probably has an on-base percentage of 500. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you the Astros were, they knew when to pick their spots. All right, seventh inning, what's coming in? We need a couple runs here. Let's get going with the signs. I don't know if they did it every pitch, every inning, because like you said, then I think stats would be completely inflated.
By the way, I just melded two different Astros together, Lance Berkman and Alex Bregman.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. Pete the Body Bilotti, do you buy that it's a bigger advantage to have signs stolen than to be on PEDs?
Yes, because you have to have the skill with the PEDs in order to be successful, I think. I mean, you could.
But you have to have the skill if you're sign stealing as well.
Yeah, but you have to have the smarts up there, too. The smarts are a better advantage for you, I think, than... Because any other person could know, all right, fastball is coming down the middle, I'm going to position my bat down the middle. So I think it's more of an advantage to have signs and know the signs than the other way around.
It's clearly an advantage. I don't know if I would say that this is way bigger than having PEDs versus a pitcher that's not on PEDs. I mean, that PEDs were an enormous physical advantage. I mean, look, it took Mark McGwire 150 games to break a half a century old record of home runs. I mean, Barry Bonds, his walk total, because you simply were not allowed to pitch to him without him destroying a baseball.
Did McGwire win a World Series with the Cardinals on PEDs?
No, but if we were to say that every Cardinal player was on PEDs, I think you would say, well, if they all had the potential to hit 70 home runs.
But I think that's the difference. And I don't want to finger point or anything, but I think the assumption in the steroid era is that most players on most teams were on steroids. I'm not trying to name names, but isn't that kind of what we think happened during that era?
I think it was at least half, maybe 50 to 60%.
Okay, so then we're working with a situation then during the steroid era, basically it was the best players on steroids outplaying the other best players on steroids, and that's how ultimately you found your
but
winners.
But we're saying that half the league wasn't on steroids. So that's an enormous advantage.
I get it, but if every team has half of their team on steroids, then aren't you just, not that it's a level playing field, but it's sort of like...
It's evening things out.
Right, it's evening things out, whereas if you're the Astros or the Red Sox and you're the only two teams with this divisive a plan, that is a distinct advantage over the other teams in Major League Baseball.
Well, that's the question. Do we really believe that the Astros and the Red Sox are the only ones doing this?
I believe every team steals signs to a certain extent. I don't know that any team went above and beyond a covert plan.
I think they were probably the best at this.
Right.
I think those are two aggressive organizations.
Most extravagant.
Well, they're two really aggressive organizations in winning. They're two organizations that invested a lot into analytics. They're two organizations that had a lot of good talent on their rosters. And they're two organizations that were driven to win at all costs. So if you were to tell me it was the Orioles and the Marlins stealing signs, I'd be like, yeah, I don't necessarily believe that, because I don't believe those organizations are driven to win as much as these other two are. So my point here is that I think that probably the Astros and the Red Sox were the two worst offenders because they pushed the limits most. But I don't think that they're the only two organizations that use technology in some way, shape, or form to steal signs.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you tell me everybody has somebody sitting in left center field, some kind of fan that, you know, does an immediate text message, something like that, yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of plan like that, but to set up monitors and bang on trash can, like, that is going above and beyond gamesmanship. And when you're winning a World Series, look, the proof's in the pudding. The two teams are pointing to one World Championship.
Totally true.
So that, to me, makes it worse than the steroid era.
But, okay, so let's bring in the Patriots corollary here. Do we believe, without Deflategate or Spygate, that they still win six Super Bowls?
I have a hard... If that Spygate story is true, I have a hard time thinking in a tight game that that didn't give them an advantage to win. So I'm going to say they have at least one less.
Well, the original Spygate is true.
Right. I lose track of when people say that, you know. That's the problem.
They've
with the
had
Patriots
so many cheating.
Cheating.
Yeah.
Right. That people come, oh, well, this isn't true. So if that, that walkthrough was the Rams one now at this point?
No, that we don't know that they taped the Rams walkthrough. Okay. They've denied that, but they definitely stole signs via video in 2007.
Okay. Then I'm going to say.
Or 2006.
I'm going to jump on an assumption that based on what we know about the Patriots, that what happened with the Rams might be true. And if that's the case, I'm going to say they don't win that Super Bowl. So I'm going to say they have at least one less.
Okay, so I kind of think that the point here is that they are driven maniacally to succeed at everything. But by cheating, it didn't necessarily give them titles they wouldn't have already won. I've always felt that about the Patriots. They don't need to cheat. They never needed to cheat. But they are ethically bankrupt. They're morally corrupt, and they'll do anything for an edge. But they never needed to cheat to win. Never. They were good enough. But again, it's an organization that was bankrupt morally to think that, you know what, it's just part of adding an advantage here. Every advantage matters. And so for the Mets, with Carlos Beltran wrapped up into this, there's a serious question. They have to fire him. And I think it kind of comes down to what stomach they have in that whether Beltran is absolutely the right guy. If they're a little wishy-washy, like, well, you know what? I mean, we've got some question marks about him, then it doesn't make any sense to keep him. You can only keep him if you believe he has to be your manager because he is the one guy you can win with, and he's going to give you, you know, that touch, that smarts, that maneuvering that you need. And then you have the stomach to say, no, he's our guy. And we're going to stick by him. But if you don't have the stomach for that, then you got to fire him because he's already in the crosshairs. And since we haven't heard anything from the Mets, I don't know if they have that stomach. When we come back, the NFL with Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
DA, first of all, I want to start off by saying, man, I think you're one of the best sports talk radio hosts in America.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Pete the Body crushing it on music today. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Thanks for being with us on a fine Wednesday. The DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio each and every morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. We're in mornings now, Mom! Right here on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. What a wild week it has been, and I am learning now that the DA Illuminati is looking for new candidates to join. Yes, there is an internal group of D-aliens that consider themselves basically the Freemasons of the mothership. The DA Illuminati looking for applications. I didn't even know this was a thing. I think I'll retweet that for the D-aliens out there that want to become official insiders? Unofficial insiders? However that works. Our next guest here on the DA Show is our good friend from the NFL Network. You can see him Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You follow him on Twitter for the latest around the NFL, Ian Rappaport, a.k.a. Rap Sheet. Mr. Rapp, good morning. How we doing?
What's going on? How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us. And you've got a close connection through your wife to Mississippi State. And I want to know, what does the Rappaport household think of the pirate Mike Leach coming to Stark Vegas?
You know, it's been a big swing for the Rappaport household because, you know, we were pretty convinced that Joe Judge was going to get the job.
Okay.
You know, whenever that was. Tuesday, I forget the actual date, but Wednesday, whenever that was. The deal was done. He just needed to give his answer, and, you know, the money was set, everything was done, and then, you know, Judge kept putting him off and putting him off just in case he got a call back from the Giants, and next thing you know, he's the Giants coach. And Mississippi State's like, all right, well, I guess we're not getting that guy. And, you know, I would say this. I found out probably a couple days before that it was going to be Leach. I told my wife. She told her family. She started doing some research. I think she's very happy. She knows he's crazy, She also knows he scores a lot of points, so I think she's pretty happy.
All right. An emotional roller coaster in the Rappaport household last week, deciding on who the Mississippi State head coach is going to be. When it comes to Joe Brady going to Carolina, do you think his style of offense that he just brought from LSU means that Cam Newton is out because Cam wouldn't necessarily fit in that type of offense?
I would say that if Cam Newton is in his prime and healthy and without a contract situation hanging over his head, he could fit in any offense. My understanding is that the Panthers will look to trade Cam Newton when he is healthy. We don't know for sure when he's going to be healthy. He had surgery with hopes of being healthy in March, so that is the goal. So I would expect him to be healthy in March, right around there, and for them to seek a trade with him regardless. Because remember, you know, if Cam Newton is on the Panthers next year, he's not going to want to go out there with no guaranteed money in a greatly undervalued deal. Because Cam Newton, when he's healthy, is worth a lot more than the $18 million he's going to be paid, right?
Yep.
So he would want a new contract. Have a hard time imagining the Panthers with a completely new regime would re-up. So to me, all signs point to him being traded regardless of the offensive scheme. And I think the Panthers will start new probably as they should.
There's skepticism that Kevin Stefanski can work out in Cleveland. And part of that, I think, is just because he wasn't the name brand of Josh McDaniels. But when I look at Stefanski, he's a smart young guy. There's been a lot of smart young offensive guys that have come into the league and succeeded. Matt LaFleur is in the NFC Championship game being one of those types of guys. And he kind of fits that mold. But the question is, can you succeed when you are running your game plans on Monday morning over hours over a desk with your owner, Jimmy Haslam? Does that part of things, which Haslam admitted is a thing, make you concerned that it can't work?
I don't know the answer to that. I think there are definitely some things that if you're a good, smart football coach with enough talent, you can overcome. I mean, you know, Freddie Kitchens, you know, was not the interim coach. Greg Williams was, but all those things existed when the Browns were closing really hard in 2018 and looking really good. So they all overcame it then. I would say, you know, meeting with the owner for hours on end on a Monday is obviously not ideal. It's not what anybody wants. But every team meets with their owner, gives their owner a very specific update. They don't, you know, all happen in person. But I remember talking to a GM a couple days ago and just being like, oh, man, can you believe, you know, what the Browns are required to do? They got to talk to their owner about everything. And he was like, we talk to our owner about everything. You know, it's a little bit faster, but they run everything by their owner. And I think we all sort of, pile on the Browns, as we should. They deserve it. But there are some things they do that a lot of other teams do. You know, for instance, everybody's going crazy about, you know, discussing the game plan with the analytics people and having someone on the headset. That's what more than 50% of the teams do right now. I mean, you know, Doug Peterson is a great coach, has really done a fantastic job with the Eagles. He has an analytics person on the headset with him 100% of the time before key decisions. And he gets a lot of credit for those decisions. No one says, hey, man, that analytics guy from, you know, Yale or whatever did a great job.
Yeah, Doug Marrone admitted he does the same thing. He's on headset with analytics department constantly as well. Ian Rappaport joins us from the NFL Network. But it's interesting because your first inclination was, oh, God, this can't work because he's got to meet with Haslam for hours on end. But what you're saying is those concerns were allayed a little bit because you spoke to somebody in the NFL that said, hey, it's not that big a deal.
Right. A lot of teams do that where you have to meet with the owner, you have to discuss things, and you have to, you know, I wouldn't say, like, run your game plan by the analytics people. That's probably what's, you know, being misconstrued here. But, yes, like, they do talk to the analytics people about the game plan. And, you know, I think my main issue here, and I'm guilty as well, is that no one knows what analytics is. They just don't. They think it's, like, a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But it's really just discussing what you plan to do with people who have the research to let you know where the tendencies are or whether that makes sense. It's just discussing your game plan by people with a lot of statistical information to give you an idea for whether that's the right move or not, or whether it's, you know, smart to go against tendencies or not. I mean, there are just people who study these things. And to me, like, if you're someone who synthesizes a lot of information very well and very simply as a head coach, you want this. You want the information to back up your decisions and what you already think.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network joins us here on the show. The last 2 weeks, the Tennessee Titans have been able to bully their way through the playoffs. Are the Chiefs better suited to counter that bully ball than the Ravens and Patriots were?
On defense, no. I would say it's going to be a real problem to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, that is a legitimate issue, and I don't know that. I mean, especially if Chris Jones doesn't play, we'll see his status, but either way, he's not going to be 100%. You know, so that's really hard. I mean, that's basically the weakness of the Chiefs' defense. So can they stop Derrick Henry? Can they stand up to the bully ball? I would say probably not. However, they do have Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't play defense, but he plays offense, and he scores a lot of points, and his team scores a lot of points. So I don't know if the Chiefs can do it defensively. I think they're going to score enough points offensively that it's not really going to matter if they give up 180 yards to Derrick Henry, which, you know, they will probably do.
Finally, how different are the Packers today than they were a couple of months ago when they got shellacked by the Niners?
You know, they're a little bit different in that, you know, Davante Adams is now healthy and looking like himself. That helps. That helps a lot. I think, you know, his explosiveness, I mean, watching him on the field this week, and I was like, okay, this guy's still really awesome. Aaron Rodgers looks excellent, you know, and it's hard to criticize one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and so I'm definitely not in a position to do it. But midway through the season, there was definitely some things where you're like, Rodgers isn't quite right. He doesn't understand the system. He doesn't know what he's looking at. It's taking time. He's not making quick decisions. All of that was true. I see him on the field this week and, you know, toward the end of the season, and I'm like, I think he's getting it. I think he's getting ready to hit his stride. I mean, some of those throws he was making this weekend were like, whew. I think they look better. I still think, you know, the 49ers, to me, just based on the way they run the ball, are probably going to win. But I think it's going to be a good game, and I think the Packers look better. And I can't wait for it, honestly.
Yeah, same here. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport joins us. Follow him on Twitter, at Rapsheet, because he is all over everything NFL news related. You can see him coming up on Sunday. NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning begins at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. A phenomenal pregame show to get you ready for the championship game for this weekend. Rap, it's always good to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for doing it.
All right. Talk soon, man. Take care.
Okay, you too. Ian Rappaport joining us on the DA show this morning. And I think the Niners will win. I'd be hard-pressed to say it's going to go that much dramatically different than the first time they played to say that the blowout would flip completely to where the Packers will win. But I do think the Packers are better prepared today to deal with the Niners than they were a couple months ago. And I do believe that the Packers will not get blown out. I do believe that the Packers will be able to make this a game. I think that ultimately getting to Garoppolo with that pass rush is enormous for the Packers. And Rodgers has to have an entire game's worth of the type of throws we saw on that final drive, the Davante Adams throw, a couple of the ones he had early in the game, building the 21-3 lead. It's got to be 60 minutes of that. But if you get marvelous Aaron Rodgers, you have a Packers team that can run the football, and it's going to be hard because that front seven is just so good, but can keep this game somewhat close, then the Packers stand a chance at finally winning. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But a lot of things have to go right for the Packers to do so, and I think they are different than they were a couple of months ago in that game. They weren't quite ready to match the intensity of the Niners in that one. Standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. This was really the only outcome in Boston. Alex Cora is done as Red Sox manager, no matter how baseball punishes him for his role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal and possible cheating in Boston in 2018. Cora could not continue in the dugout, so he joins A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow on the unemployed line. Carlos Beltran was the only other man named in baseball's report. He was then an Astros player. Now he's the Mets manager. The Amazons haven't commented on the situation. This was the question free agent third baseman Josh Donaldson was facing all offseason.
Would you give your left nut
to be a Minnesota Twin? Donaldson declined that, instead accepting.
There's never going to be a time that that clip does not really jar me. I mean, I'm just, that is, I can't believe that happened on these airwaves.
And you know what? The more I think about it, I'm proud of me for handling it as well as I did.
I am too. I said to Mraz the first time we played this in soundcheck, this is why you get paid the big bucks. This is why you're the best.
That's why. Okay, thank
you. This is why you're the best update guy on the network.
You did handle it well.
Thank you.
It's because to say, yeah, when did the left one become expendable is a way, not only is it a funny observation, but it's a way to cut the tension there. How do you answer that? Can we play this one more time? Amy,
by saying
puts,
yes,
puts bogus. It's apparently International Pizza Week.
Correct.
Okay.
So we were going over
favorite toppings,
and I like a pepperoni slice.
And you got lambasted by
yes.
her for liking a plain slice.
Correct.
I mean, you were shredded emotionally.
Yeah.
For wanting a plain slice.
Yeah. So I had to recover from that to handle this.
And then apparently somebody had tweeted in something about loving pizza, or this was a reference to a football player that said he would do this to win a Super Bowl.
Would you give your left nut for a slice of pizza?
I'll just read my update.
Really? Wait, did you not hear what happened? I feel very free. I can just say it.
You know, now that you mention it, that is a popular phrase, and I wonder how the left one became the expendable one.
That's a good line.
Bingo right? line.
I don't know. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
That's for tomorrow's show.
Today we're still on pizza, please. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Andrew Bogish.
And man, for those of you that are not awake from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time to hear Amy, so this is your first, taste of Amy. Like, she is prim, proper, professional.
Oh, total professional.
So like that,
total
that's
pro.
Really coming out of nowhere.
Total pro.
Hence her laugh afterwards, like, guess what I just said?
She's like the kid that hears a curse word for the first time, so she starts blurting it out all over the house, and the parents have to
right.
pretend not to laugh.
Which is what I'm going through right now in my house with my six-year-old.
And I got to say, Bogues, you handled that so well. I don't know what I would have said.
And this was 5:30 in the morning. Pete and I were late on the train. I was ran in the building, frazzled, getting ready to be on the air with her, and that's how I get hit in the face.
That was your first
for
update.
Sure.
Yeah. That was your first update.
That was the first
that was the
thing
first toss.
Anyone said to me into a microphone today was, would you give your... And as Sean pointed out, usually you use that for things that are hard to get. I'll just pay the $3.50 from my pizza
right.
and save
it
both
shouldn't
of
have to
my...
come to surgery.
No.
You could get a 99-cent slice a lot of places.
Exactly.
Schwartz has got them all mapped out.
No today question. We're still on pizza.
Great point. You don't need to give anybody part. You just got to go to the Fox Thursday pregame set.
Hound everybody. That's a good way to do it.
Stop at a vet on the way back.
That's where you could get the left one surgically detached, though, for your pizza.
No, never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Hang on, Mr. Vet. I've got a procedure I need for a slice of pizza.
I need to be spayed and or neutered. Just the left side. Can you help?
I'm just looking for a free slice here so it can be quick. Please, no pain meds.
So back to Josh Donaldson. 4 years and $92 million. He is now a Minnesota Twin. The Carolina Panthers had a roller coaster Tuesday. The excitement of apparently adding LSU passing game coordinator Joe Brady as their offensive coordinator. The sadness of losing linebacker Luke Kuechly to retirement. The 28-year-old says he can no longer play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Some of the best times of playing this game are behind the scenes in the locker rooms, in these meeting rooms, on the buses, traveling the games. You can't replicate that anywhere else, and that's why this is so hard to do. to move on in a different direction.
Kuechly is a five-time first-team All-Pro, was the 2012 Defensive Player of the Year. Antonio Gates officially ended his Hall of Fame career yesterday. The Chargers legend is third all-time among tight ends in catches, first in touchdowns. No ambushes this morning like Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson over the weekend. The NFL slowly unveiling the rest of its special centennial class for the Hall of Fame. NFL Films, Steve Sable, Bears tackle Jimbo Covert, former Giants exec George Young, and former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue among those sent to Canton this morning. Former Mississippi State head coach Joe Moorhead, reportedly the new offensive coordinator at Oregon. And we had some dueling reports overnight and this morning about the future of Missouri State football. One report said that the FCS program was hiring Art Briles as its new head coach. Oh. Another said it was Bobby Petrino.
Whoa.
So winner versus winner.
Wow. Evil versus evil.
The correct answer is Bobby Petrino. That is now official. He is the new football coach at Missouri State.
You know what? This is amazing. Bobby Petrino is a safer hire PR-wise than Art Briles.
Yes. But
that's the only guy in America you could hire Bobby Petrino over and say we took the safe route.
Right, and go, oh, okay, good. Only Petrino.
Just make sure you have a motorcycle mechanic nearby.
And no female secretaries.
Yeah, exactly. All dudes, no motorcycles, and you should be fine.
Think about that hiring decision.
Right.
Do we go with disgraced former head coach Art Briles that oversaw massive scandal at Baylor and left it in its wake, or the most disreputable, pathetic, ethically bankrupt head coach that perhaps has ever walked the face of the earth in Bobby Petrino?
I think Petrino runs a better offense, frankly, for Missouri State.
It's almost like they floated Briles on purpose.
Ooh, good
to
call.
Lessen
good
the
theory.
Boom of Petrino.
Good. At least we didn't do Art Briles, everybody.
Because the oddity is, too, the person that was the outlet reporting Briles was the more established news outlet. It was just one guy saying, no, 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 it's Petrino, and it's Petrino.
What a good theory.
Yeah.
That they floated Art Briles to put people off the scent of how bad the Petrino hire is. Whew, woof.
Let's do some NBA. Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies got to play on NBA TV last night.
It's a boost for us being able to play on TV. But, I mean, our focus wasn't to play on TV. We were just focusing on going out and winning that game. And, I mean, we got it done on TV. I mean, it's special. Great win. We'll take it.
As though their games are radio only?
Well, I mean, it's also it's on NBA TV. I mean, which is technically national TV, but at least get me into TNT on a Tuesday.
Well, also, those games are – every game's on TV.
Yes,
every game. Yes, it might be regional. It's not like it's on ESPN 3.
And I have a highlight where the guy's like, and he's showing off on national TV. It's like, guys, it's – like, I like NBA TV. Jared Greenberg is a good dude in front of the show, but are you really getting geeked up? Is that how bad the Grizzlies have been, how low they've fallen, that NBA TV on a Tuesday
is the
place
TV.
To go?
We're on
also,
TV.
Also, Ja Morant played in the NCAA tournament last year. You would think this is not a big deal to play on TV.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned that his games are actually on TV.
Just get him
really fired up for the NBA TV games.
He did score 26, 8 assists, and they beat the Rockets 121-110. The Grizzlies have won 6 in a row, their longest win streak in over 3 years. It's 10 in a row for the Jazz, 118-107 in Brooklyn, and the Clippers smack the Cavs 128-103. Kawhi Leonard scored 43 in just 29 minutes. 3 days after its first ever win at North Carolina, Clemson went back home and knocked off number 3 Duke last night, 79-72. Number 6 Kansas handled Oklahoma, 66-52. And from the NHL, Austin Matthews of the Maple Leafs debuted back in October 2016. His very first NHL game, he scored a hat trick. Hadn't scored one again until last night in a 7-4 win over the Devils. D.A.?
Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, your epic fail of the morning. The Dog and Pony Show now has 6 pounds of beef to eat. The D.A. Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
The kid can play. That's all I want to hear. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I like how the rump sound effect is a bouncing ball. A rat's rump. 49 minutes past the hour. Time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Rob the 321 asked, GA, do you think Jimmy Johnson has a private Hall of Fame dinner that will have tacos on the menu?
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
I like these football guys getting emotional. I like it. I like these big, tough, strong guys breaking down because they were honored for their work and honored for their legacy and honored for their greatness. I dig it. I like this. I like the Hall of Fame. I dig the legacy of the league. It's very important to me, having grown up addicted to NFL films and the history of the game and renting books from the libraries, taking out books from my local libraries to read about the history and sifting through football cards and stats. I dig all of this, so I think it's pretty cool. I did, though, note, I don't know if Jimmy Johnson's a Pro Football Hall of Fame coach, having coached for less than 10 years in the NFL, but he did have two Super Bowl wins. But, I mean, his 4 years in Miami are pretty underwhelming, and so that only leaves, what, 89 through 93? That's 89, 90, 91, 90. Five seasons in Dallas. Is his five seasons in Dallas enough to put him in the Hall of Fame? That's an amazing amount that he accomplished, I guess, in just half a decade. Because, I mean, certainly his 4 years in Miami didn't get him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
As long as you're making tackles, I love you.
It's time for your epic fail. We had Gabe Kiremi join us here on the show. He was an outstanding offensive lineman, consensus All-American at Wisconsin. And so he's a big man. He now has a alternative to beef jerky company called Strive. It's called Biltong. It's kind of dried meat. And, I offered up Mraz's eating services.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We're going to watch Sean eat 6 pounds of your Biltong on the show. Gabe Kiremi.
Record it. We'll post it up there. You give me the address after this. We'll send it. I'd love to see that.
All right.
I'll challenge him with it. We could do it maybe a live video feed. We'll see who can finish first.
I like this idea. I'm going to put you on hold, and Sean will give you the information, okay?
Are you nuts? I just need to hang up the phone with Gabe. Are you nuts? You can't rent me out like I'm a bounce house at some kid's birthday party.
Yes, we can.
6 pounds of meat? I got a daughter at home I got to take care of. You trying to drive me into the ground? No egg, no soy, no GMO. With all due respect, I'm sure the Strive products are great, and I would try them, but that much meat? You can't just... Now the guy's ready to run a video stream with me. Come on, have a talk things out with me here.
I just didn't want to call you Mraz because you introduced yourself to him over the phone, I'm sure, as Sean.
Yeah, that's true.
Would have said, you just talked to Mraz, he'd be like, who is that?
I said, this is DA's sidekick, Sean. How are you?
I'm CBS Sports Personality.
But I mean, really, you're treating me like I'm a petting zoo. Why not just call him the Denver Horses? Right? You just roll up at any kid's birthday party. I know he's good to go. Here comes Sean. All right, whatever we need him to do. Oh, the juggler, put him in the dunk tank. Oh, we need him to eat 6 pounds of fried sticks that have shrunken down at 70 degrees.
This is just dawning on you now?
No, because usually it's a, hey, would you do this? You know, we talk it through.
How do you think we got this far?
Right.
We've been promoted 4 times.
Right,
radio
we got this.
We got this. Mistake.
We got this far with you going, Mraz, would you do this? It takes me a couple seconds. Ultimately, I say yes. You're going to go here. Times have changed.
Okay.
What do you mean? Whoa. I'm a father. I got a heart disease to worry about.
Oh, that's what has changed.
Yes.
Oh, I thought what has changed is that now you're a CBS Sports Personality, a.k.a. sidekick.
They put the glucose in my blood, Damon. I am. That being said, that doesn't mean I wouldn't do something for the good of the show. What it means is just run something by me. The guy's setting up video equipment now, Gabe Kiremi is. He might FedEx overnight this. What am I supposed to do with that?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We'll update you on the poll question of the morning before we get out of here. Push comes to shove. Would you be a rat like Mike Fiers? 74% of the D-Aliens said no.
That's a lie.
3/4 of our listeners said they would not be a rat. Push comes to shove, they would not be a rat.
Everybody's lying to themselves. You would absolutely rat it out. All everybody wants their cheese.
Get that cheese. Get that cheese. That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The Doc. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, also director of all audio. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, your wizard of watchda.com and your technical director. And thanks to Andrew Bogish, who's your headlines extraordinaire. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.